Hashem. You remember we saw yesterday a discussion about making Pesach b'tumah, and the question was if Klal Yisrael are in a state of tumah, or at least they're predicted to be in a state of tumah at Pesach time, would that constitute enough of a reason to make a ibur shon? And we saw machlokes about it. We saw machlokes about it. One opinion says that is a reason. Rabbi Yehuda says you would be ma'abed shana. The Tanakhama says no, you would not. You would not be ma'abed shana. And there was a story that they were ma'abed shana. They regretted it. They asked Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one of two reasons: either because they were ma'abed too late, or because they, in fact, were not ma'abed, and they made people make Pesach Sheni, which was also incorrect. Now, we mentioned yesterday, and we now need to launch this discussion properly because this is the Gemara. That there is a discussion, tuma hutra betzibur or tuma dechuya betzibur. Hutra means it's completely permitted. Halachas are absolutely waived and do not apply, as opposed to tuma dechuya, which means it's merely pushed aside, but they're not eliminated, and therefore you have to try and avoid it. You have to try and avoid it. There are very, very commonly asked shailas. You remember we connected this yesterday to a similar discussion with regard to Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos. These are shailas that I'm very often asked, in particular, of course, on a Friday. A woman who says, I'm towards the end of the ninth month and I've begun feeling contractions, let's say at 10 o'clock in the morning. Am I mechuyev to get myself to the hospital before Shabbos? Or do you say, no? You see where you're up to, and if you need to go in a car on Shabbos, then you go into a car on Shabbos. So now, if you would hold that pikuach nefesh is hutra, then there's absolutely no necessity to try and avoid it, because if you need to mechal Shabbos, you need to mechal Shabbos. But if you hold dechuya, it's just pushed aside, but it's not totally waived, then maybe there is an inyan to try and avoid it. So these are questions that are asked frequently. People ask, if I need to go into hospital on Shabbos, how should I phone? Do I need to phone with a shinui or not with a shinui? Again, these are discussions which depend on hutra versus duchuya. But let's bring it back to our subject. We're not talking about pekuach nefesh, we're talking about tuma. Is tuma hutra betzibur or is tuma duchuya betzibur? So the Gemara says, Omar Mar. You have it, we're on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 line. Yeah. Omar Mar. Rabbi Yehuda Oimar Ma'abrin. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion on Amud Aleph that you would be ma'aber the Shana in order to avoid Klal Yisrael having to bring Pesach b'tumah. Now, what does that indicate to me? That indicates that Rabbi Yehuda clearly is not so happy with Klal Yisrael bringing Korban Pesach b'tumah. And that's what the Gemara says. Almo, you see, is Leila Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold Tuma Dechuya. Underline the word Dechuya. Dechuya hi betzibur. It would seem to be that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Tuma is not Hutra, completely permitted. Rather, it is Dechuya, it is pushed to the side. As we explained, what does it mean, pushed to the side? If it can be avoided, best to try and avoid it. If you would hold Tuma is Hutra Betzibur, it's totally permitted, and who in the world cares that Klal Yisrael seem to be going to be Tuma at the time of Pesach, why would you be Ma'aber the Chodesh? There's no reason to try and avoid it. If Rabbi Yehuda says you are Ma'aber the Shana and you try and avoid it, clearly he holds Tuma is not Hutra, it is dechuya, and therefore, if you can avoid it, you can avoid it. That's why Rabbi Yehuda is saying, best would be to make an extra ador. That way, you're giving everybody an extra month to get themselves tahor, and that way, we can avoid Klal Yisrael bringing the korban betumah. So, if the fact that he's trying to avoid it clearly shows that it's not hutra, it's dechuya. Have a look at Rashi on the fourth line. Dechuya betzibur. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Kloima. The word duchuya betzibur, that phrase means klaima bakoishi butra tuma betzibur. What does bakoishi mean? From the word kosher, with difficulty. It's with difficulty that we're permitting tuma betzibur, meaning we're not thrilled about it, and if we can avoid it, we can avoid it. The kol kamo, as much the efsha, it is possible lahaduri. La soy soy betahara, in as much as it's possible to try and ensure that it will be brought betahara mahadrin, we are indeed mahada. We try our absolute best to ensure that it will actually be brought betahara. Why? Because it was only bekoishi. It's only permitted with difficulty. Ulakach, and therefore ma'abrin. That's why Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, surely, that we are ma'aba the year kedei sheyasu b'tahara, in order to give Klal Yisrael the extra month to become tohor, so that they will end up sacrificing the Korban Pesach b'tahara. Why is Rabbi Yehuda so keen to ensure Klal Yisrael will be tohor? It must be that the halachas of tumah b'tzibur is not hutra; it's only dechuya, as Rashi explained. B'koishi, b'koishi, no. I've got no choice, then backs to the wall, I have to permit it. But if I have a choice, I have a get-out clause, I have a way of getting Klal Yisrael to be makriv the Korban Pesach b'tahara, then I do everything that I can in order to do so. That
Maybe
is...
doesn't Pesach Sheni, isn't it a raya that it's Dechuya?
No, Pesach Sheni is only for Yechidim. We're talking about for the Tzibur.
Yeah, but doesn't that, given that it isn't a raya that the Korban Pesach is has the opportunity to be Docha
No,
because of Pesach Sheni?
Korban Pesach Sheni is only for Yechidim. If a Yochid, if Klal Yisrael brought Pesach Rishon, then the Yochid who is unable brings it for Pesach Sheni. He couldn't bring it to Pesach Rishon because Tumah was not permitted for him because he's only a Yochid. We're
Right,
talking
so
about
you've seen what happens when someone is even by Yochid, when someone is Betumah b'Pesach Rishon, the Torah makes an
Pesach.
opportunity.
That's not a right. Because we're discussing what did the Torah do when the Tzibur was Tomer. We know what the Torah did when there was a Yochid. The Torah definitely did not waive or definitely did not push aside or didn't do anything whatsoever for the Yochid. So therefore, if the Yochid is Tomer, he jolly well has to bring Korban Pesach Sheni. But when the Tzibur are Tomer, that's when we have this discussion. Are the halachas of Tumah completely waived or are they simply pushed aside? Now, we have... And the Gemara is now going to launch this discussion. The Gemara is going to introduce the inyan of the tzitz. Now, this is a fascinating halacha. We know a Kohen Gadol, as we're learning in the parashiyos that we are involved with in the moment, the Kohen Gadol wears eight clothes in the Beis HaMikdash, and one of them is the tzitz. The tzitz is the head plate on which it is written, Kodesh Lashem. Kodesh Lashem. When we talk about the halachas of Tumah, we've been discussing sacrificing the korbanos when Tomei. We need to know, not that we necessarily understand how this works, but the head plate of the Kohen Gadol, the tzitz, has special powers. And this is called the tzitz being meratzer. Meratzer from the word, like, for example, we say in davening every day, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, appease. The tzitz is the koyach, is as it were the magical koyach through which the halachas of Tumah are waved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, ke'ilu, kavyochol, is happy to overlook the halachas of Tumah, under some circumstances, because of the Kohen Gadol's tzitz. Because of the Kohen Gadol's tzitz. If he's wearing the tzitz, so that somehow, don't ask me how, I don't understand these things, somehow that evokes some sort of system in Shomayim by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to overlook the Tumah. However, There is a discussion on exactly when does this take place. Have a look at the Gemara. So again, Omamar Rav Yehuda, Oimer Ma'abrin Alma, we see from Rav Yehuda Yisrael, Rav Yehuda Tumah Duchuya Hi B'Tzibur. It would seem to be that Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that Tumah is merely Duchuya, it is not Hutra. Were it to be Hutra, as we said before, then there will be no need whatsoever to Ma'abrin the Shana, and Rav Yehuda would be more than happy for Klal Yisrael to bring the Korban B'Tumah. So it seems to be that he holds Duchuya. If we can avoid it, we try to avoid it. And that's why Rav Yehuda is telling us, try and avoid it by being Ma'abra Lashana. Asks the Gemara the following kasha now. V'hotanya, but we have learned in a braisa, sits the head plate. Bein sheyeshnoi al mitzvay. What's the metzach? Metzach is the forehead. When the Kohen Gadol is dressed in his clothes, the big day kahuna, then the tzitz will be al metzchoi, will be on his forehead. So the Gemara says, tzitz, bein sheyeshnoi al metzchoi, whether it is currently sitting on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, ubein sheeinoi al metzchoi, or whether it is now currently not sitting on the forehead, for whatever reason, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his begodim. Either way, Meratzeh. The very existence of the tzitz is Meratzeh. It's not the fact that the Kohen Gadol is wearing it on his forehead. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that this koyach of the tzitz that allows the korban to be brought betumah, this magical koyach of the tzitz, applies whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz on his forehead or whether he's not, it makes no difference. That is the opinion of Reb Shimon. Says the Gemara, Reb Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, no. Oy doy al metzchai. If the tzitz is still on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, Meratzeh. Then indeed, it has this koyach to be Meratzeh. If, however, ein oy doy al metzchai, if the tzitz, however, is not sitting on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, ein oy Meratzeh. Ein oy Meratzeh. Ein oy Meratzeh. So we have a machlaikas. We are machlokes. Now, look at Rashi. It's the end of the previous Rashi. Tzitz, Meratzeh. The tzitz has the koyach to appease. I'm curious, how does Art Scroll translate the word Meratzeh?
Acceptable. Makes it acceptable.
Makes it acceptable. Okay. So the tzitz is meratzeh, says Rashi, al tumas zvochim. Korbonos, which are tuma, la'alois, to ascend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'rotzoin, and still be acceptable. Bein, sheyeshnoi al metzach. Who's metzach? Says Rashi, the metzach of the Kohen Gadol, b'shaath tuma, at the time of tuma. Or bein, sheyeshnoi al metzach. According to the first opinion, whether or not the tzitz is sitting on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol makes no difference. Either way, says Rashi, it is Meratzeh. So now, we have a machloikas. Again, according to Rav Shimon, the tzitz is always Meratzeh, whether on the forehead or not on the forehead. According to Rav Yehuda, it is only Meratzeh whilst the Kohen is wearing it. But if he's not wearing it, then any korban brought in a state of tumah, whilst the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his tzitz, that korban will not appease in any way, and therefore the korban is einoy oyle l'rotzin, and the korban will be totally posel. That is the machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Omale Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon now turns around to Reb Yehuda. Remember, Reb Shimon was of the opinion that the tzitz is always maratza. Says Reb Shimon, I'm sorry, I have a big kasha on you, Reb Yehuda. How can you, Reb Yehuda, say that the tzitz is only maratza when it is sitting on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol, b'yoyim hakipurim yoychiach. I can bring a proof from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Why? She'eino yal metzchei. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did not wear the tzitz. As we know, he wore special white begodim. The tzitz was not one of them. He did not wear the tzitz on Yom Kippur, at least whilst he was in the Kodesh Kodoshim. And nonetheless, umaratze, and nonetheless, the tzitz is maratze. So how can you tell me, asks Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda, that the tzitz needs to be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol to allow a korban to be brought betuma? I have an absolute proof from Yom Kippur when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz that you see that he doesn't need to be on his forehead. Look at Rashi. Kohen Gadol b'boyoy, when he enters lifnai v'lifnim. What does it mean, lifnai v'lifnim? In the innermost sanctuary, meaning the Kodesh Kodshim, b'yom ha-kippurim. Yoychiach, that will prove to us our point. She'einoy loyveish bigdei zohov. We know that the Kohen Gadol does not wear any golden clothing on him when he enters the Kodesh Kodshim. And guess what? Ve'im ira tuma b'kodshim. And nonetheless, the halacha is, at that moment, when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his tzitz, if any tumah occurs in the kodshim, maratza hatzitz. The tzitz is still maratza. So how can you tell me that the tzitz is only maratza when the tzitz is on the forehead? But I've got a raya from Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol enters the Beis Hamikdash, the Kodesh Kodshim, lifnai v'lifnim, he is not wearing the tzitz. And if anything goes wrong, if it becomes tomei the korban, the halacha is that it still works. It's maratza. So you see, it's not dependent on wearing the tzitz as long as the tzitz is just in existence. Seems to be a fantastic question against Rabbi Yehuda. Back into the Gemara, oh maloi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda responded and he says he's got a wonderful answer. Hanach l'yom ha-kippurim. Leave Yom Kippur alone. Don't bring me a proof from Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is different. Do you know why? Shetuma hutra b'tzibur.
Right up basis, isn't it?
Period. In other words, every korban that's brought on Yom Kippur is not a private korban. It's being brought on behalf of the tzibur. So if that's the case, the halachas of tumah hutra b'tzibur would apply. So therefore, I don't need the tzitz to be maratza. If on a regular Tuesday morning, an individual, a yochid, turns up in the Beis HaMikdash, and then makrib is korban, and a disaster happens in the middle, and it becomes tomei, so will it nonetheless bring about the kapora, etc., etc.? So that's a discussion in the tzitz, because essentially the halachas of tumah are not waived for a yochid. So will it nonetheless be considered okay b'di'eved? So then you need to evoke the koyach of the tzitz. But the koyen godoil is not bringing a korban yochid. He's bringing a korban tzibur. And anything that pertains to the tzibur, the halachas of tumah are waived, and I don't need the tzitz. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry to tell you, you've got no proof from Yom Kippur. You're 100% right that in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, but there, we don't need the tzitz. Now, why does this present a question to us? Because look at the words that Rabbi Yehuda used. Rabbi Yehuda used the words on Yom Kippur, Tuma, Hutra, underline the word Hutra, B'tzibur.
Right.
And if that's the case, we have a phenomenal kasha, we have a big stira. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda himself say that if the tzibur are going to be Tuma, you would be ma'abeir the shana, meaning you would try to avoid it? And the Gemara said, he clearly holds that Tuma is dechuya b'tzibur. And yet it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. When having this tzitz discussion, he said, actually, Tuma hutra b'tzibur. I don't understand, said the Gemara. If he really holds Tuma hutra b'tzibur, the halachas are not just delicately pushed aside, but rather they are totally waived. Well, why would you be ma'abed the shana? Let Klal Yisrael jolly well be makriv the korban, even if they're tomei. Who cares? The halachas are completely waived. Look at Rashi. Omar loy. Rabbi Yehuda responded, says Rashi, Hanach leYom Kippurim. Leave Yom Kippur alone. Don't bring me a proof from Yom Kippur. Why? Shekuloi avoidas tzibur hu. On Yom Kippur, all the korbanos that are brought are obviously on the part of the tzibur, the tuma, hutra, the korban tzibur, and the halachas of tuma are completely permitted in a public korban, ketahara gemura, as if it was completely tohu. The ein tzorich tzitz l'ratzos, and I don't need a tzibur to be maratze, comma. Here comes the question. Rashi explains the question. Alma, so what do you see? What is in fact Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Alma, you see that it's heter gomor hu. It's totally permitted. It's hutra. It's not just the chuyah. Now, we must press pause for a second. Because you probably will have noticed that we've made a little bit of a jump over here. We've made a little bit of a jump, and that's what Rashi is really alluding to. When we spoke about Tumo Hutra B'Tzibur before, we were mentioning it with regard to the Tzibur being Tomei. What does it mean, the Tzibur being Tomei? As we discussed yesterday, whether it's all of the Tzibur or Roiv of the Tzibur, but we're talking about the people being Tomei. All of a sudden, we've moved this discussion to the korban tzibur being tomei. Klal Yisrael are all tomei. But the korban that's brought on Yom Kippur, which becomes tomei, what did the Gemara say? Oh, that's absolutely fine. Because it's a korban tzibur and tuma hutra b'tzibur. Now, we would not have assumed that the halachas of tuma hutra b'tzibur should apply. Because we, until this point, have only met this concept when the people, when Roiv of Klal Yisrael, 51% of the population of Tomei. Here, we're not talking about the population have become Tomei, we're talking about the korban has become Tomei. So this is a very, very big jump. And that's what Rashi was telling us, that Tuma is Hutra, the korban tzibur. So this is now a double heter. When we talk about Tumo Hutra B'Tzibur, apparently it's a double heter. Either when the Tzibur are Tomei, or when the Korban Tzibur becomes Tomei. Anything to do with the Tzibur, if the Tzibur is Tomei, if the Korban brought by the Tzibur is Tomei, the halachas of Tuma are totally waived, not just pushed aside, waived, disappeared. So either way, we have an enormous kasha, we have a big stira on our hands at the moment. We do not understand, does Rabbi Yehuda hold Tuma d'chuyo b'tzibur? That certainly seems to be what Rabbi Yehuda holds by virtue of the fact that he holds that you would be ma'abed the shana. If you're ma'abed the shana, what does that indicate? That indicates that we're trying to avoid bringing a korban b'tuma. And yet, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda himself over here said that tuma is hutra b'tzibur. And that's why Yom Kippur, you don't need a tzitz. So we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda.
So didn't isn't what Rashi just isn't what you just said is out? He can say, yeah, tuma hutra betzibur when we're talking about a korban, not the tzibur. It's a totally different because if you're asking me about the tzibur, I'm still saying tchiyah.
All right, that's what I'm saying. So I see from the Gemara that the Gemara is equating it, and nobody is possibly suggesting that we should differentiate between the two. So apparently, tumah hutra betzibur has a double connotation: either the tzibur atame, or the carbon brought by the tzibur, or on behalf of the tzibur is tame. Either way, we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara.
So he's saying it's a klal. The reason it works is because I hold this klal of tumah hutra betzibur.
Review the holds the reason why we don't need a tzitz on Yom Kippur is because the halachas of Tumah simply do not apply. I only need the tzitz when essentially the halachas of Tumah apply. Accidentally, something became Tomei, so the tzitz, b'di'eved, will allow it through. But where the halachas of Tumah do not apply in the first place, there's no need to have a tzitz. Says the Gemara, the last word on the line. Before we try and even answer the question, we're going to throw the question back. Says the Gemara, one second. What are you asking me? You're asking me that there's a contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. On the one hand, he seems to hold Tuma Duchuya Betzibur, and yet over here he clearly said Tuma Hutra Betzibur. Big kasha. One moment, says the Gemara. I'd like to suggest, asks the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is difficult to understand even without your contradiction. Says the Gemara, v'letameich, and even according to your reasoning, there is something problematic anyway. Tikshi lecha, you should really be asking, hi gufa. What does hi gufa mean? You should be asking inherent. You should be asking inherently. You only ask a contradiction from A to B if A makes sense. Then you can say, well, listen, A makes perfect sense. I just don't know. How does it fit in? How do you reconcile it with B? But if A itself doesn't make sense in the first place, then forget asking contradictions. A inherently is difficult. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is inherently difficult anyway. Forget asking contradictions. Why is it inherently difficult? Says the Gemara, Tikshi lecha hi gufo. You should really be asking Rabbi Yehuda's opinion gufo. The guf, the body, the actual inherent opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is difficult to understand anyway. Why? Because, quote unquote, we said that Rabbi Yehuda said the following, Rabbi Yehuda oimer ma'abrin. On the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda said, "You are ma'abed shana," and then the Omer Rabbi Yehuda, "Ma'ase bechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda sheiber es hashana mepnei hatuma ubikesh rachamim al atzmoi." Quote unquote. Remember, we said yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda, very strangely, in the same sentence, says that yes, you are ma'abed shana, but on the other hand, chizkiyahu Melech did exactly that. He was ma'abed shana, and for some reason, he was mevakesh rachamim. Now, why
was a Nisa? Because he did a Nisa.
I'll come to that. Why would you be Mevakesh Rachamim if you're Ma'abed Hashanah? Now, the Gemara has already dealt with this. As Larry pointed out, we said he was Mevakesh Rachamim because maybe he was Ma'abed Hashanah too late, or because he made people be Makriv Korban Pesach Sheni. So we are revisiting that. So at the moment, if we go back to first principles, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is inherently contradictory. Never mind asking a question about Yom Kippur. Forget Yom Kippur for the moment. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is inherently difficult. On the one hand, he said, you're Ma'abed Hashanah. And in the same sentence, he said, and Chizkiyahu is Ma'abed Hashanah, and then he had to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. Why do you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy? It's supposed to be Ma'abed Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Elo, we always love the word Elo, backtracking. Chasurei mechzera v'hochi ketoni. There is clearly something missing in the text, and that's presenting all the problems, and this is now what it really should say. V'hochi ketoni, this is really what it should say. Ein ma'abrin es ha'shono mepnei ha'tuma. The first opinion is, you are not ma'abed the shono because of tuma. Ve'im ibruha. And if they did so, however, b'di'eved ma'uberes. Opinion number one. Rabbi Yehuda oimer eino ma'uberes. We have completely flipped things around. The previous girsa was that Rabbi Yehuda was telling us what? That you are supposed to be ma'aber the shana. According to this new amended version, it's 180 degrees in the opposite direction. Not only are you not supposed to be ma'aber the shana, to the contrary, if they did go ahead and be ma'aber the shana, einu mu'uberes, it does not take effect. Why does it not take effect? Oh, everything is answered now. Firstly, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ayma eina mu'uberes, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda, etc. What did Rabbi Yehuda, how did Rabbi Yehuda finish off the sentence? He finished off the sentence saying, Chizkiyo ha-melech was ma'aber the shana, and he begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. So a minute ago, what did we ask? Excuse me. If Rabbi Yehuda holds you're supposed to be ma'aber the shana, then why was he begging for mercy, Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda? But according to the amended version, it's great. Because according to the amended version, to the contrary, Rabbi Yehuda holds you are not supposed to be ma'aber the shana. Not only are you not supposed to do so, l'chatchila, but even b'dievet, if you did so, it does not take effect. Ah, very good. So that's why Chizkiyo, who was Ma'abra the Shana, had to beg for mercy. Why did he have to beg for mercy? Because he wasn't supposed to do so, and in fact, it doesn't take effect. Now, why indeed is Rabbi Yehuda, we've completely amended the whole version, why in fact is Rabbi Yehuda saying, do not be Ma'abra the Shana, in fact, b'dievet it doesn't work either? The answer must be because he holds that tuma hutra betzibur. If tuma is hutra betzibur, so Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm sorry to tell you, the halachas of tuma are completely cancelled. And if they're completely cancelled, not just pushed aside, but they're completely cancelled, then there's absolutely no necessity whatsoever to be ma'abra the shana. Therefore, not only lechatchila should you not be ma'abra the shana, but even if you did so, but yeah, but it won't take effect. Why? Because it was a mistake. There was no necessity whatsoever to be ma'abra the shana. If that's the case, everything is answered now. Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, holds tumah.
How can he reverse everything?
Perfect fitting with what he said with regard to Yom Kippur. With regard to Yom Kippur, he said, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, everything is fine and dandy. Why? Because Tuma Hutra Betzibur. That's not a contradiction. He absolutely holds Tuma Hutra Betzibur. And because Tuma is Hutra Betzibur, there's no need to Ma'abed the Shana.
How can he reverse everything that happened up until the tzitz conversation? Up until the tzitz conversation, he was talking about ma'abrin, lo ma'abrin, dechia. This now all of a sudden
we said chasuri master. It's a mistake. We misquoted Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda didn't change. We changed. We changed our understanding. We had one version that said that Rabbi Yehuda says you are ma'abrin. According to this new version, to the contrary, ein ma'abrin. No necessity whatsoever. Tuma is hutra betzibur, and that absolutely fits in perfectly with what you said with regard to Yom Kippur. Okay, we've run out of time. Hashem, tomorrow we'll see the Rashi, and then we'll carry on the Gemara as well, Bezrat Hashem.
Challenging.
Good.
Okay, have a good